Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters on David Cameron and Afghanistan, in which I hope he's right, but I think he's wrong. Whilst going through video footage of British Prime Minister David Cameron visiting Joint Strike Command HQ this week, I heard the microphones pick up a conversation he had with a senior officer. They were talking about recent news from Helmand province in Afghanistan. They agreed there were reasons for cautious optimism about the future. Well, this follows remarks by General Petraeus in London last Friday, and a flurry of recent media reports suggesting the green shoots of optimism were growing in the sands of Helmand. The highly respected and astute Times correspondent, Anthony Lloyd, must have thought hard before filing a report, the tone of which suggested the Taliban were close to breaking. The New York Times followed suit, and today's New York Times has a detailed article about how the talks are going and how the American military is facilitating them, including flying Taliban leaders into Kabul and promising not to kill them for a few days. These and other things are why Mr. Cameron was upbeat. I hope he's right. I think he's wrong. The newfound optimism is due to a number of factors. The British casualty rate is down. The US surge is in full flow. The Taliban leaders are being killed, in the words of one official, in industrial numbers. Add to this significant progress in building schools and other national infrastructure, and the talks with the Taliban, which have actually been going on for years but have now surfaced, and you can believe the glass is half full, without having to be drunk on hubris. But what if? What if? My scepticism is not because the US lost 9 Marines last week in Sangin, they're discovering just how tough a place it is after taking over from the British last month. Nor is it because today the Afghan Electoral Commission announced that almost 25% of the votes cast in the recent parliamentary elections were fraudulent. Way to go, Karzai, after being so severely warned about corruption at the London Afghan conference last January. No. The scepticism is because what if all the positives were true? Except for one. What if the peace talks were actually a way to string things out until the surge recedes, the Canadians go home, and the American and British allies begin to fall away like leaves from an autumnal tree? The fighting season is almost over for this year. As the snows come, the Taliban will melt away and reappear in the spring. There will be some fighting. Some of their leaders will be tracked down and killed. But the intensity has finished for 2010. If during the partial lull the Talibs talk, they'll have won another 6 months. They can give away ground. That ploy is in Chapter 1 of the Guerrilla Warfare Manual. It's not a problem. They can always get it back. They live in the Pashtun region, and they're not going anywhere. As they say, you have the watches, but we have the time. Against all that is that General Petraeus did write the counterinsurgency manual, and the Taliban are certainly hurting. What I think is really happening is that both sides are manoeuvring their way to an agreement, in which the Talibs are left in de facto control of large parts of the south, and to hell with women and those who worked with NATO, while the British and Americans massively draw down, but in a manner which allows them to say, we weren't chased out, Kabul holds, and there's no room for Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Call it a bloody score draw. I hope I'm wrong. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.